And November is traditionally, I think, a month when we think about the subject of remembrance and remembering. If Stephen had liked to put up the first PowerPoint, you're probably very well aware tonight's bonfire night. Okay, it's the 5th of November. And all over the country, we remember, you know, the Catholic plot many years ago to blow up the Houses of Parliament, led by Guy Fawkes. And we have a rhyme that we say, remember, remember, the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason and plot. Always seems a bit bizarre to me that we do this in England, but anyway. So, you know, one of the things that we remember is the 5th of November, which is tonight. Next week, it's Remembrance Sunday, and we remember the end of the First World War. And there'll be many ceremonies held, you know, over that week and weekend to remember all those who've died in war. And remembrance is something that we do at different times of the year. And for most of us, you know, remembrance is connected with history and with people that meant a lot to us. November, again, is typically a month when we do remember, because the 1st of November is known as All Saints' Day. And, you know, that is an opportunity for believers to remember all the saints and martyrs who died throughout Christian history. And in some churches, the 2nd of November is All Souls' Day, when all those who've died as Christians are remembered. So November, you know, is traditionally a month when there's a lot of remembering going on. And that's why we've called tonight's service, you know, Rainbow of Remembrance, because we're going to look at the story of Noah tonight. So we've got Rainbow, and we're going to be looking at Noah. And that story, obviously, is found in Genesis, in the chapters 6 through to 9. We're not going to read all of those chapters because it's quite a long story. But it tells us how God was angered by the wickedness of humanity and sent a flood to destroy people. In Genesis 6, verse 13, God said, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. And God told Noah to build an ark, a boat that would provide a refuge for him and his family, because Noah, it says, was a righteous man. He was blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. And God gave Noah some very specific instructions about building this ark, the kind of wood it was to be made out of, how long it was, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and about 45 feet high, and how it would house not only Noah and his family, but two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive. And we've got loads and loads of children's songs, you know, about Noah. You know, the animals went in two by two is one song. Mr. Noah built an ark. We've all sung that one, I think. Who built the ark? In fact, even when I was studying music at school, I had to study a modern cantata called Captain Noah and His Floating Zoo by Donald Swan and Joseph Horovitz. So Noah has been a subject, you know, of lots of songs and lots of things like that. The first thing I think that we see about Noah is that he was obedient. Yeah, he did what God had said. Twice in Genesis 6:22 and 7:5, we read that Noah did everything that God commanded him to do. It took a long time, this building project, but he obeyed God's call to build an ark. And that's pretty remarkable, because at that time, there'd never been a flood. They'd never actually seen rain at that point. So, you know, it must have seemed a very strange thing to do, building a boat, when you didn't really know what a boat did. Because God commanded him to build the ark, he did it. In Genesis 7, it tells us that God sent all the animals to Noah, and that's an amazing miracle, you know. If you've seen the film Evan Almighty, you've seen sort of how they, you know, enact that, and they get all the animals coming to visit him. And it's like, what am I going to do? Where are all these animals coming from? So that must have been quite strange. And then it tells us how all the springs of the great deep burst forth and the floodgates of the heavens were opened and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, you know, we've experienced floods in this area, you know, 10 years ago. More recently, we've seen on the news bulletins some of the floods in different parts of the world. But this was a universal flood. The earth was covered by the floodwaters for 150 days in total. You know, and if you think about that, if it started on the 1st of January, you know, we'd still be covered with the floodwaters by the 28th of May. That's a long time, you know. I don't even like it if it rains for a full day. So, you know, 40 days and 40 nights of rain and then 150 days when you've got rain everywhere. It's a long time. The fact of Noah building the ark and being saved through the ark shows how God protected Noah and his family. But I want to look a little bit, you know, what happened when the floodwaters went down. Genesis 8 in verse 1 tells us that God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. The ark came to rest on top of Mount Ararat, and it took another 3 months before the tops of the mountains became visible. So, you know, we're now into August. You know, if it started in January, this is now August. And the job Noah now had was to determine when it was safe to let all the animals out of the ark and begin life on earth again. First of all, he sent the raven out, kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. And then he sent a dove out, but the dove couldn't find anywhere to land. And incidentally, I think this is a lovely dove, even though Dave said he thought it was a seagull. You know, we've got a dove here to, you know, for the story that the children have made. The dove at first couldn't find anywhere to land. It came back to the ark. Noah waited and then sent it out again. This time it returned with a leaf in its beak. Well, can you imagine what that was like? You know, the signs of life here. We've got a leaf. So Noah, after another 7 days, sent the dove out again, and this time it didn't return. So it was safe to leave the ark. And Noah celebrated that by building an altar and offering sacrifices to God. He knew that God had been incredibly merciful to him, and he wanted to show his thanks. God was pleased by that, and he gave Noah a very important promise. In Genesis 8, verses 21 to 22, God said, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." And that's a promise that's still in effect today. A promise which God sealed through making a covenant, an agreement with Noah. And he even gave Noah a sign of the covenant, the sign of the rainbow. He said in Genesis 9, "I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." We've got a picture there of a rainbow. What is a rainbow? Well, you know, scientists tell us that they occur when sunlight and rain combine in a special way, and you can see all the colours of the light spectrum. It's caused, apparently, by refraction, reflection and dispersion of water droplets, resulting in this arc of colour. And the colours always appear in a certain order. And I'm sure all of us have learnt, you know, what those colours are in the order through various ways. The mnemonic, Richard of York gave battle in vain, or the acronym ROIGBIV, you know, the colours are there in a particular order: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo and violet. Which is why I don't like the song, you know, "I Can Sing a Rainbow," because it's got the wrong colours in it. And when I was looking online for different pictures to put of the rainbow, I found out that some of them have only got 6 colours in their rainbows. And I'm like, oh, that's not a real rainbow. Technically, you know, the rainbow's a full circle, but from the ground we can only see the upper half. So we tend to think of it as being this arc, a semicircle. There are different kinds of rainbows, you know. You can have double rainbows sometimes. You can even have very rare secondary rainbows as well, you know, where they're caused by a double reflection of sunlight. But essentially, you know, this rainbow is not just to be explained by science, but is put there by God. It's a sign of the covenant that he made, not just with Noah, it says, but with the earth itself. God's promise that he will never again flood the whole earth. We might have localized floods still, but you know, some of those we kind of bring on ourselves almost by where we build the houses, don't we? But God's told us that never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. And it's not just a sign for us, it's a sign for God in that sense, because God says that when he sees the rainbow, he will remember the covenant. It's not just, you know, a pretty sight for us to look at. It's not even just, you know, for those of us a certain age, the name of a children's television programme that we used to watch. It's a visual aid for us to remember God's faithfulness and mercy. Jesus talked about remembering Noah as well. In Matthew 24, he said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." You know, we often live as though life's just going to go on forever, don't we? We can even use God's faithful promises, you know, as proof that nothing's ever going to change. We're still going to have day and night. We're still going to have hot and cold. We're still going to have the seasons. But Jesus says that one day there will be a day of reckoning, a day when the Son of Man returns to the earth in power and judgment. And we need to live in readiness of that day. We need to live as children of the light. We don't have to live in fear, because Peter reminds us that God knows how to rescue the godly from trials. But we do have to live in such a way that indicates we're ready and we're waiting for Jesus to come again. And Peter says, it's not easy to live like that, is it? Because, you know, in the last days, scoffers will come. They'll scoff, they'll follow their own evil desires, and they'll say, well, where is this coming then that he promised? You know, ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And he goes on to say, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. We've not got to lose heart. We've got to remember that God's sign of judgment, the flood, didn't come on the world overnight. Noah preached faithfully. He gave people an opportunity to turn back to God, but they didn't want to know. And other people might laugh at us for being Christians. They might tell us that our beliefs are outdated or unfashionable. But we've got to hold fast to God, remembering his faithfulness, remembering that Noah built the ark in holy fear to save his family. He serves us as an example to us of what can be achieved through faith. I think that there are seven things that we need to remember, and that the rainbow colours can help us to remember. The first thing we need is to remember Noah's obedience. Noah did what God told him to do, and that's all God asks of us. Whatever he asks us to do, we need to be obedient to do it. We need to remember to live in readiness as children of the light, because Jesus is coming back soon. Yeah? That's what the New Testament teaches us, that Jesus has come, he's died, he's raised again from the dead, and he's coming back soon. And we need to live every day in readiness of that return. We need to remember God's provision. Noah was provided for. Yeah, God looked after him. And God will look after us too. We've got to remember God's protection. God looked after Noah and his family and the animals that were there on the ark. They didn't die. They didn't drown. They were safe. And God can protect us too. We need to remember God's faithfulness. He doesn't forget about us or abandon us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Remembering his mercy. We didn't deserve this. As Dave was saying this morning, you know, we don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve to be saved. But God, because he's merciful and kind and loves us, offers us salvation. And we need to remember, finally, the need to persevere. Yeah, it took Noah a good many years to build that ark. He didn't just knock it together, you know, in a DIY session at IKEA, you know, in half a day. It wasn't a job like that. He had to persevere through people laughing at him, wondering, what on earth am I doing building this ark? What's it all about? He had to persevere. And if we remember those seven things, then we'll live well, and Noah will be an example to us.